Find, keep, and strengthen your love for the Lord through firstloveradio.org.
The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
Hello and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who has been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he's traveled the entire continental U.S., preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience and the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
All right. Well, hello. Larry DuBois here, and I got with me Robert Payne. And Robert Payne, of course, has been on the program before. And as you watch this video, whether you're watching it through Facebook or YouTube, we decided to do it on video. It's not live, but it's this way so we can have a better picture. My lips were not matching the voice last time. I thought, what good is that? So we're going to record it and then place it on those venues. But mainly what I do is I extract the audio off of the video, so that I put that on the radio show, which we have on firstloveradio.org. And then, of course, if you go to sharingyourfaithradio.com, you'll get the podcast there. You can listen to it or download it to listen to later. There's lots of ways to listen nowadays, as you can imagine. But what I wanted to do is start off by mentioning that Robert Payne here, he's been on the program before. If you were to go to past broadcasts, a couple of times early on when I started the show, and we had him on when we were talking about how evangelism affected the homelessness population, or how do we deal with homeless people when we're out there doing evangelism out in the streets, and inevitably that's an issue. So you can listen to those if you'd like. Today we're going to be discussing a number of topics. It's kind of a hodgepodge of us speaking about evangelism, how it's relating probably mostly to what's going on out there today. In the past, of course, I've had more of an organized program by having, you know, a topic, and I've done a little teaching with the scriptures, and I've had a question and answer, and so it's been very pre-recorded, of course, but it's been very uniform in how the show goes, and I've had a clear title. Last title I put is Live Facebook. Well, people had to listen to it to find out what was it about. Well, today we're going to be talking about, I guess the first thing I wanted to mention was I had posted a short video on Facebook here and on YouTube as well a few days ago about preaching during a riotous situation. And there was a man, Wally, I think his name was, I'm sorry, forgive me for not remembering his name, during the LA riots, who decided to go out and preach, and he was killed. Ultimately killed. He suffered injuries that didn't take his life right away, but later on he died. And then I used the Apostle Paul as an example in Acts 19 about how they sort of forbidden him to go into this theater. He wanted to go in the midst of this riotous situation to preach, and they didn't think it was a good idea. And by those two examples, I made a video saying I don't think it's great to be out there preaching during a riot, you know, like saying, hey, I should go down into the riot area. But I did get a comment from a friend of mine, James, who had gone out with SOS Ministries in the Bay Area. And last Saturday, apparently, they were out there in the city of San Francisco. And sure enough, here come a group of these protesters. Now, it was daytime. I'm kind of thinking they were more on the peaceful side. Who knows what it would have been like if they would have been at night or something. But anyway, these protesters went by, and so they prayed accordingly. They continued to preach, and they tried to hand out tracts, and they were able to hand out a few. And virtually, they came out of that unscathed. There was no confrontations or anything. I don't think the protesters had a beef with them at any type. You know, here, we're just trying to present Jesus. Some people don't like that, but it's not like we're taking sides or anything like that, so there'd be no real reason, legitimate reason, why any group would say let's beat up on these guys because you know, they're in opposition. But you know, out there anything can happen nowadays. It's just totally chaotic. But I wanted to ask Robert his thoughts on that, Robert, about preaching in you had a few experiences, and it wasn't even a riotous situation. It was just a little weird up in Reno at one time. But why don't you go ahead and comment a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's just a really tough situation right now. What SOS is doing is fantastic. And I think about Stephen, and Stephen's, you know, his sermon, and then he was martyred. We know Christians are sharing their faith and martyred all the time. We know that we need to share the gospel. We know that we need to be out there. But in these situations with rioters, I mean, they're not even protesting. These are people who are rioting. They're stealing, they're killing, I mean, and they're destroying. And so, is that where we should be in front of them? So I don't really think it's a good time to go out and do that. In Reno itself, I was up there preaching on a street corner, and people coming out of casinos just on, I don't know if they're on drugs or just too much alcohol, and just getting weird, getting really, really weird and in your face. Of course, I had my wife with me. She was passing out tracts. And so we go into these situations where we know we have a chance of something like that happening. But in the case of going in the middle of Los Angeles right now or Minnesota and finding the street corner and preaching the gospel, it's a little bit of a different situation. So I agree with Larry's video, and you need, like you said, even Paul had Peter. It was Peter that told him, you don't need to go do this right now. And so we all need to use discernment and pray to God on it for it, and wisdom on situations that we're thinking about going to do.
Yeah, and on a flip side of that is when you go out there in a normal situation. So now at some point these riots are going to lose momentum, hopefully. They're going to cool down a little bit. And people are going to start to go back to work, and, you know, maybe a month goes by. Now, we plan on going back out. And the reason we're not going out right now in downtown Sacramento during the day is there's nobody down there, really, to speak of. It's like a ghost town. But when that changes, we'll be down there preaching. We were preaching down there when they had this Occupy movement. And I preached down there during the Occupy movement in Oakland. Now, again, those folks, you know, they had no reason to object to us or vice versa. Now, I wasn't on the same corner where they were at. In fact, I purposely didn't. And not so much because I was afraid of backlash from them, but it was a distraction to the other people that were in the area. Of course, a lot of the people avoided the area. And so you want to go where the people are when you're preaching, right? And street preaching. So I went down to the busier corners mainly for that reason. But we're going to go back to Sacramento and preach. And like SOS will continue to go down to San Francisco during the day, and unless something changes. Now, if we're out there preaching in any given situation, we could encounter, whether it be a group or one individual, that's going to possibly be our demise. And we may get killed out there doing it. That happens quite a bit in foreign countries. It's almost to be expected. Now, that's a little different than, you know, purposely picking a riot and saying, I'm going to go to that exact spot and do it. This would be in a general sense where you're just going out there and it's just a dangerous time. And so from here on out, that's probably how it's going to look. That's how the landscape. And so it's going to be amped up a little bit. I wanted to share an experience I had once when I got motivated, I got riled up like this young man that priest during the LA riots. And he thought he could go down and make a difference. Well, what the situation was at a mall, this was several years ago, back in the 90s, in my hometown of Everett, Washington, there was a strip mall, a big mall, not a strip mall. Anyway, they were having this radio station was having a promotion. They were having a kissing contest. Okay. Well, my friend comes back and says, you'll never guess what. They got, you know, this kissing contest, but there's two homosexuals in the contest kissing. And I thought, you're kidding me. And I got all excited, and I thought, I'm going to go down there and preach. Now, of course, this was before the days where I was, a seasoned street preacher. I dabbled in it at best, but I got so excited. So I take off. I go down the steps, and I go down and get my vehicle. Well, pretty soon, I come back up, and my friend says, what happened? Did you forget something, or is your battery dead? And so, no, I sheepishly said, I said, no, I says, I went down there, and the Lord, I felt the Lord was speaking to me and saying, you know, I the message I got, I felt from the Lord at that time was, I wish you were as zealous for the sins that you commit as you are about these people. In other words, you would do well to be that zealous against the sins in your own life, you know, before going and preaching about what they're doing. And so that was enough to convict me. I couldn't, with the same enthusiasm, go. I felt like I wasn't taking the board out of my own eye before helping take the speck out of a brother's eye, if you will. And then, of course, the other thing with that is you have the aspect that these are sinners that are on the outside. Remember Paul, who had said in 1 Corinthians 6 that we judge those that are on the inside. That means the church. If the church or those who are named a Christian, named a brother or a sister, are involved in these particular sins, and he lists a lot of them there, and homosexuality is one of them, but there's others. There's drinking, drunkenness, idolatry. There's other fornication, these things. And if anyone named a brother, you know, we're to sort of separate from them. We're supposed to judge that in the church. We're supposed to confront in love and, you know, try to get their behavior resolved, get repentance and change, right? But it says on the outside, God will judge those. And I think our tendency in our modern day is that we tend to want to do the opposite. We're very quick to judge the world's sins without cleaning our own house. And you got Christians involved in sin, and that sort of gets swept under the carpet. Well, if the world picks up on that, of course, all they see is hypocrisy. And it is amazing, this is sort of a side note, but it is amazing what the left, I've gone on Twitter, on some of these websites that just despise Trump, and what they think of him and the evangelicals. You know, they basically think that the evangelicals have made Trump into some sort of messiah. And here he has all these issues. You know, he's a playboy. You know, he has all these sins. Well, you know, we would probably say that Donald Trump has not been born from above. And although he has taken several steps to help the Christian realm, he himself, there's a big question mark, is the man even saved himself? And, of course, I don't want to get into that. You know, how do we judge things like that? Well, the Bible does tell us that we will know them by their fruits and that sort of thing. So not, it says that God knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so you will have other film clips of him saying very blasphemous things against God. So a born-again person doesn't do that. So that's how I can say that it's a general consensus that he isn't, and we're praying that he gets saved, that he does truly embrace the doctrines of Christ and has a full understanding of what it means to be a believer in Christ. But he is possibly like King Cyrus in the Bible. King Cyrus was a king that God used to benefit the nation of Israel and other kings as well. In the book of Daniel, we see these unbelieving kings would give favor to God's people. And this is, again, of course, God, and I believe in the proverb that says that God can turn the heart of the king like a river, whatever way he wishes. And so we have that element, too, that God uses people like pawns on a chessboard, if you will. He can raise up one nation, and he can put another one down. He can do the same with leaders. And so that's kind of that. I kind of got off track there and started rambling. But what we want to talk about is discuss evangelism amongst what's going on out there. And I did a little of it last time. I just kind of ran out of time. But Robert, let's ask you, since you know I don't want to take up all the time here myself, let's ask you, what is your opinion when it comes to is evangelism going to look any different out there? For example, initially people were afraid to take things. They don't even want people handing cash out. The Bay Bridges have shut down the cash lanes, and so you drive through there, they take a picture of your license plate and send you a bill in the mail because they don't want to take cash because in their minds it's spreading the virus possibly. And as more and more people are afraid to take pamphlets from you, and we had that experience, I mentioned that, with the group up there at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to take the waters. They're afraid to take stuff from people. They don't trust it. So, you know, how long that lasts, I don't know. So what's your comments on that? Is evangelism going to look different in the future?
Yeah, I was really surprised at the Hobby Lobby. I mean, these people wouldn't even take an ice water, and it was hot that day. And so it was just really interesting because there was so many people in line without any shade. So I think it's going to be a slow process. I think that as things open up more, people might start get more comfortable. Right now, we've been going out and holding signs at different big streets where there's a lot of cars, and holding signs up for Jesus, and you know, we get a lot of thumbs up, a lot of honks, and people who are, you know, supporting us, but we're not having people stop and talk to us like we would if we were on the streets preaching or passing out things. You might get some people who would actually engage in a conversation. So if this is going to be how it is, it's going to take some creativity to get the information out to people that don't want to just hear a street preacher, somehow giving them books or tracts. But it's kind of day to day right now as people get comfortable. You have some groups, you have people who are really comfortable, you know, and then you have a huge amount that just is not ready for any type of contact or to take anything from you. But it's all in God's hands, and He knows what's going on, and so we trust Him, and we're going to go back to what we were doing soon, where people are out, and we're going to try to hand them things, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, my friend Jerry Benson, who is a minister down in San Diego, evangelist, they basically, him and his crew, they do it all. They do the open-air preaching. They do a lot of sign stuff, tracks, of course, and they cover events. They go everywhere. Anyway, he's I would say Jerry's strong point is he's a very good preacher, but his strong point seems to be one-on-one conversations, and that's another thing that's sort of hard to get into when these people are, quote, supposed to be, you know, social distancing. is it's not impossible, but it's, you know, you're supposed to get into a conversation from, you know, 6 feet away, you know, and so it just more in, you know, more cumbersome to do things the traditional way. But so there's some adjustments. It's very possible. I thought of this, you know, the evangelism on social media has probably increased since the pandemic outbreak and people were supposed to stay at home and the other forms of evangelism have been limited. That's very possible that that's been an increase and that might maintain its presence. That's true. It works very well if for some way or somehow someone in a foreign country, let's say if you're behind, I was going to say the Iron Curtain, but that's no longer existence. But if you're behind in the Muslim world, let's say, and as long as no one's monitoring what you're doing on the internet, which I guess they do that in those countries, but
yeah,
it's possible they could see a video on about Jesus and get saved that way. So the modern missionary who would typically go into a country like that, or they can't even maybe get in there, or they're going to be shut down in a hurry. And if they're not martyred or killed, they're at least at the very least thrown out of the country. And so how do you get the gospel to them? Well, it's through the airwaves, through radio or television or internet, and that can be a very effective way to get the gospel out. So don't sell yourself short if you got a ministry that you're doing online in hopes to you know, get the message out. Now, in some ways, I you know, Facebook, it seems to be a platform where Christians are just arguing with each other over stuff, and I mean, I've gotten caught up in that too. I'm not saying, but maybe we should think about how we're spending our time on the internet and trying to zero in. I got most of my friends, of course, let's just say the friends that I don't know or don't know very well, most of those are Christians. I've noticed a lot of them are from foreign countries. They're mostly Christians that have asked to be my friend or vice versa. That's the way it is. I do have some unbelievers, and they do comment on some of my postings. But a lot of those are family members. A lot of them are friends from high school that have accepted my friend's request. But maybe that would be our more of a target audience, is to be on there for them rather than, you know, bantering back and forth with Christians. And even some of our affirmative things, of course, you know, we're preaching to the choir, right? And, you know, yeah, I ask myself, what good is it if we're posting things and just other Christians are seeing them? Unless it's some, you know, it's encouraging them or something, but I'm just saying from the gospel point of view, because I know that Facebook and other social media can take up a lot of time a person has. One of the things that I've noticed, and I could be wrong, but I look back several years ago and I think something like this would have stirred up the majority of Christians, and you would have had a lot of pastors saying, okay, we can't open, but let's just take church to the street. And I didn't really see a lot of that up here. But then it doesn't surprise me, because typically, if anything, you're going to have less people going out because of all the things, rather than more. But so it didn't surprise me in a way, but in some ways I thought maybe more Christians would say this would stir them up. Well, it stirred me up. Just
yeah.
The fact that, you know, one disadvantage I had was I'm limited physically. So I was like, okay, I can't get out there. Well, because of this COVID-19 stuff and the churches not wanting to open, that stirred me up. I thought, well, I can't go to church and I can't seem to get people to get together. I can at least go out there and evangelize. So now I'm not any healthier than I was, but I'm going out there evangelizing, so it helped me. But I was hoping more people would go out there.
You know, for the believers who might watch this today, who want to do some evangelism, who always think about it, or they feel that I really want to do this, but I'm just not. I just don't know how to do it, or I'm nervous, or I don't have enough boldness. Actually, this is the best time to go do it, because there's less people, and so you'll have less contact, and it's a good time to get your feet wet, is what I'm saying. Is to go out and hold a sign, you know, try to pass out a couple tracks, or just holding signs with us. And we go out on most days, Wednesdays and Fridays. It's a good time to go out and get your feet wet, because you won't have as much contact with people as you will, prayerfully down the road. Things will open up and we will get that contact. But just to get used to it, it's not a bad way to go. So I would encourage you to try to do that. Get hold of us, and if you're in the area, to come out and hold a sign with us for 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah, there was a post on Facebook by a man named Richard Paradise. He's friends with Larry Rosenbaum of SOS Ministries, a longtime associate of his. I met him a couple times over the years. I'm sure he wouldn't remember me or anything, but I am a friend on Facebook with him. But he posted this, basically a call for the churches to take a stand. And he goes, yeah, he says, I have a few radical friends that are out there evangelizing during this time. But he says, I'm talking about the bulk of the church. You know, he's saying we're silent. And he doesn't necessarily talking about going out there and protesting against the protesters. What he's saying is we're silent. In other words, we're not out there offering prayers or offering help to people, that sort of thing. We've sort of been reclusive. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we do have this live streaming, and it seems like many churches are content just doing that until this thing passes. But as we can see now, it's not going to be any quick thing that's over with. I don't know how your church was last weekend. Our churches are open. Our individual churches that we attend are open. There was, I would say, half the people. I'm not sure exactly, but there wasn't the full capacity, of course. People, for whatever reason, didn't come. It could be for a variety of reasons. They were still afraid they're going to get a virus, or they were protesting the fact that the churches had to have all these restrictions, and they just didn't want to do that. Maybe they moved on, and they got another church now. I mean, who knows? We don't know. So, but the churches are open, but it seems like we're losing something. We're not on the cutting edge. We need a revival, and that's something I guess we should be praying for, is a revival within the house of God, to not only go out evangelizing, but just being the church, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We need the Lord in the midst of us, unlike never before. I think what we can be doing is praying. I belong to a group of men, a small group of men that have committed themselves to pray every day, 7 days a week at 5 o'clock. Some of the guys don't make it every day, but the core of the group, there's always somebody. So there's always people there praying every day at 5. And of course, recently we've been praying mostly prayers for the nation and this sort of thing. But I think we should be praying more, if nothing else. I mean, you would think that, I assuming Christians are praying more, at least individually, but collectively, I think we should be having more prayer meetings. And that's where I think it's really going to be won. You know, we can talk about electing people or not re-electing them, or whatever else, but the battle room is going to be the prayer room. And that's where I think maybe God is waiting for us to where we're fed up enough that we're going to start praying and asking him for his help. We're going to be that desperate. They had a picture of a man in the Minneapolis that was, it said he was praying to the Lord to heal their city. And the posture of this man, he looked very desperate, like he was just crying out from his heart. And, you know, I think God hears our prayers, but I think we need to be not idle during this time or not silent, but proactive, at least when it comes to prayer. And so that's, you know, that's another word for today. But it's been a constant deal with the less and less people wanting to evangelize, and I don't know, maybe that's a form of judgment on our country. I mean, there's been a resurgence of street preachers over the last decade or so, going back maybe further than that, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's God's last ditch effort to get the gospel out, at least in America. And when the preachers stop going out for whatever reason, it could be in the future that there's going to be so many circumstances that we're not going to be able to preach, at least not like we were. We had a lot of freedom there to go out, and people were not taking advantage of it like we could have been. And so now, let's just say they start making laws where we can't be out there, is that going to cause people to more go out or less? I don't know. It could stir people up and they could go out there. But possibly it could act as a deterrent, and people would be even less likely to go out evangelizing, and evangelism would dry up. And when the gospel's not being preached, it could be God has written us off. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not a prophet. I'm not saying this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's interesting to think through some of these scenarios that could come out of this. When we're talking about, is evangelism going to change at all? Well, it could change drastically in this country if they start putting the stranglehold on some of our freedoms that we've had. And it looks like they're trying to do that. There's no question in my mind. I don't think in the minds of the masses that this is something they're going to do. And we've had it too good too long. Did we take full advantage of it? I think I could say that at least I've done some. Maybe not as much as I could have, even doing this full time for a number of years. But I thought to myself, at least I got out there when I did, and hopefully we'll still have opportunity.
Yeah, going back to the church services with the churches opening, we have a smaller congregation, probably 250 people. So Sunday we are fortunate enough to have a huge parking lot. So we had our service outside. And we had about 50 or 60 people. So we have a lot of older people in our congregation, and they weren't there. Probably, you know, different reasons. The heat, for one, even though it wasn't supposed to be warm, it did turn warm. Fear, still. Just pray that these people will come back. I think during this time, one of the things I thought about a lot was with some of the bigger mega churches, how many people might have just got lost in that. Did they continue meeting online in the small groups and things like that? And will they return? It's easy to get lost in the mix, and just it's just like anything. It's like exercise. If you stop doing it for a while, it's harder to come back. So and we want these people back in God's building. But these are different times, and like Larry said, this would be the best time to go out and do some street things, evangelism and things like that, but it hasn't really happened, and people just don't want to go out because there's so much of a fear factor involved. And I have a lot of the media to thank for that. They've scared people more than I believe what needed to be done. But it's good that the churches are opening, and like Larry mentioned, I think we pray for God's leadership, His guidance, and for revival, and that the streets will stay open for us to go out and preach and evangelize, and that through somehow through all of this, that people can be renewed and become bold and to go out to the streets. I think all believers are called to share their faith, and I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, that's what I want to speak to, and then I'm going to let Robert share something. I'll ask him to share about if you don't know Christ. There was another comment on a post I made about, you know, we should be preaching the gospel now like never before. And there was a comment by a friend of mine, actually, who made the point to remind me that, because I had a picture of me street preaching. It was a picture actually taken by a magazine, a college magazine. They did a story on street preaching in San Francisco, and I happened to be in it. So it was a good picture they took of me, a candid shot. But I put that up there, and I put something about we should really be preaching right now the gospel. Well, when I mean preaching the gospel, of course, if you're a street preacher, that's what you mean. Actually, literally out there preaching the gospel. I guess I should have reworded it. What I meant to say possibly was speaking the gospel, telling the gospel, whispering it. You know, maybe you can whisper it to your neighbor as you're having a cup of coffee or something. You don't have to be a, quote, street preacher. I wasn't implying that everybody should be out there street preaching, because what my friend brought up was, you know, the idea that, well, if to be a street preacher, it should, you know, it's kind of an ordained position. You need the approval of the pastor and the elders, and they kind of send you out and, you know, that sort of thing. Well, just for your information, I have had that, you know, the elders of the church, they sent me out. They approved of, they laid hands on me. So I have that covering, if you will. But I would like to point out there are many evangelists in the Bible, evangelistic people, that didn't have that kind of credentials, or they didn't have that, you know, also, first of all, I want to mention Acts 13. Acts 13, it says the Holy Spirit had picked out Paul and Barnabas to go preaching. And so they fasted and prayed, and it said they laid hands on them and sent them out. Basically, the elders or the other group of believers that are commissioning someone to go out and preach the gospel, they're basically just acknowledging that God's call is on that person's life. It's the Holy Spirit that does the calling. You're not being sent out by men, per se, but you are getting men, leaders, to agree and acknowledge that, yes, you are being called by God to do this, and they join in that in the support of the ministry, and that can include the moral support of sending you out. It can include financial. It can include a lot of things. Okay, so I've had all that, but I'd like to point out that some of the people in the Bible, initially, the demoniac. In fact, I had a show about that. Early show early on was the demoniac in Mark chapter 5. It's also told the story in other passages in the Gospels, but I chose Mark's version. But the demoniac wanted, after he was healed, he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, go back to your hometown and tell them the great things God has done. So he went and proclaimed, which is actually preaching. He went and proclaimed in a 10-city area, the Decapolis, all that Jesus did. So he was an evangelist. It was as simple as, hey, I'm going to go and tell people what God did for me. You have the woman at the well who did the same thing. She had an encounter with Jesus, and then she went and broadcasted it to the townspeople. Okay? So you have these people that is at the very base level, at the very entry level of evangelism, is just telling what God's done for you. And what do you know? You know something. If you're saved, you know something about the Bible. You may not be a theologian, but if you study up a little on some important elements of the gospel, it doesn't take much. You're going to be fit to go out there and share the gospel. And so it's just telling people about the Lord. That's all I meant to say. And so it doesn't have to be in the posture of a street preacher, but just go out into the highways and the byways. It may be family members. It may be workmates. It may be strangers. Maybe somebody you meet, you know, as an acquaintance. It's just everywhere you go, okay? So that's what it is. Remember in Acts chapter 8, they were under persecution. It said the church went everywhere preaching the word. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. So it was the common folk, the rank and file believer that went out preaching the word. They weren't anything special. They were just people that were saved, and they went and told people. Someone had put it in this terms. It's like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. In this case, the bread of life. Jesus who said, I am the bread of life. And so that's, if you know, if somebody started to make criticisms over an official ministry, I even myself now, I would say, look, no, I'm retired. I'm not in ministry. I don't have a ministry. I'm just choosing in my spare time as a hobby to tell people about Jesus. How would that be?
That's a really good point.
I'm not even a preacher. I'm just the guy in Psalm 45. The my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I'm reciting my composition before the King, concerning the King, King Jesus. So if somebody said, stop preaching, I'd say, oh, is that what I'm doing? I'm just reciting my composition before the King, that's all. I didn't mean to be preaching, sorry. So let's just tell people about the Lord. I mean, I don't get it. Now, let's cover real quickly some of the main factors, biblical examples of why people don't share their faith. Fear, being ashamed. Those go hand in hand. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And before that, he says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Okay, so Jesus said in sending out the 12, do not fear man who can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. That's who you should fear. So we have a fear of man. We have the tendency to be ashamed of the Lord. We don't want to admit this. We want to be in denial about it. And so it holds us in bondage not to say anything. So there's those elements. Someone else brought up this. Maybe you have a besetting sin. If you're living in sin, you're unlikely to go out and share people because your conscience convicts you of this, and so it's easier to be silent because you feel like I'm living in adultery. You're not going to be broadcasting about the Lord. And that might be a good thing, brother or sister, if that's the case. That's not an excuse to stay that way. You repent of those sins, and then you get spiritually fit and go out and share. The idea there is, it's a good thing in this sense. You have enough conviction that you know it's wrong maybe to be sharing about the faith if you're living in a certain sin like that. Otherwise, you're a, quote, hypocrite. And so there's enough hypocrites out there. So we don't want to be hypocrites. And I'm not talking, no one's perfect, okay? So the devil's going to beat up on you and say you're unworthy, you're condemned. What right do you have? You don't know enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough to go preach, to go share. Nonsense. Tell them your testimony. This is a very powerful tool. A lot of people, my friend Tony Miano says, you know, people don't want to hear your testimony. They don't want to hear about you. So just don't even tell them. I get that. I understand. He's right. Most people out there, it is perhaps putting your pearls before swine. You know, people don't care about what happened to you, and they could really insult you. I get that. But it is a biblical thing to share your testimony in the way of evangelism because people didn't in the Bible. So, but share something. You know, learn a Bible verse and share that. You know. That's all I'm saying. We need, and I would say start with getting together with God and asking Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and receive the power from on high. I think we're lacking power. We don't need another training session. You know, if we just, you know, I'm not against training or equipping, but it's like one more training session. If we just acted on what the little we know now, we would do okay. You know, the demoniac, he didn't go to Bible school and all this and that before he started sharing what the Lord did for him. He had been delivered, and he went and told people about it. I think that we don't need all that. I think we're making excuses. What we're lacking is power from on high. And that's where we maybe need to go back to the drawing board and have an encounter. We just had Pentecost Sunday here last Sunday. And so maybe that's where we got to go, is to pray and ask the Lord to empower us to get us over that. But it's going to be a step of faith. You may be called upon to step out in faith, and then God is going to give you that power as you do that. But I'm going to break away from that right now, and I'm going to ask Robert, what would you say to somebody out there that is listening, that, and whether they've never heard of the Lord Jesus before, or whether they've been going to church for a number of years, but maybe they're thinking to themselves, maybe the reason I don't evangelize is I don't really know Jesus. I don't know the Master. And so it's hard to share about something you don't know about personally.
Yeah.
Maybe they have an intellectual understanding, and that's all it is. What would you say to somebody like that?
Yeah. You know, there's examples of, say, like the rich young ruler. You know, he's willing to give up almost everything. I mean, the gospel message it's not pretty. So you need to give it all up. You need to know that you're a sinner. You need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to understand what Christ did on the cross, that he died, was buried, and raised 3 days later. And you need to trust in that and believe in that. So you have to come to him 100%. He doesn't want 95%. I know that people step back at that and say, oh, it's so harsh. But he wants 100% of you, not just half. An example, if I knew you and you had a perception of the Bible that was just horrible, you don't want anything to do with the Bible. But you handed me, say you handed me a book to read. And I looked at that book and I said, oh, I don't want to read that book. It's horrible. And you asked me, well, have you ever read it? Looked at it? No, I just know it is. It kind of works the same way. Give God a chance here before you just say no. There's times where you might think you're seeking him, but he's always going to seek you. He's going to find you if he wants you. Zacchaeus is a perfect example in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke. He was seeking Christ, but Jesus got hold of him first. So those are three things that you need to understand, that, including myself, I have nothing to offer you, Christ. I had to come completely broken, and that's what you have to do. You have to come completely broken and understand what he did on the cross for you, and trust in that.
Amen.
Short version there.
Yeah, amen. And a good place to start is just ask the Lord to show you, and get a Bible and read. Ultimately, you can read anywhere. God's going to use that. But I would suggest reading the Gospels. Gospel of John's a good book. The reason we recommend the Gospel of John is because it says in there, these things are written that you may know Jesus is the Son of God, and by knowing this, believing in this, you can have life in his name. So the purpose that John wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is so that you believe in Jesus. So that's why we recommend the Gospel of John. But if you want to know about Jesus, read any of the Gospels. In fact, I would suggest reading them all eventually. But
yeah.
Start off, read about the end of the book, Matthew, say, about the cross. Read about the crucifixion and allow the Lord to use that to minister to you. Because it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this can mean published word too, the written word, you know. It doesn't have to be audibly per se, but just the message of the word, see. That's the written, the scriptures of the holy word of God. And so we, the sin of the world is unbelief, right? So we have to have belief. Well, it's that comes from the Lord. And there could more be said, but that was pretty good, Robert. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to sign off now. Oh, and I think we hit the record button. I apologize for that. We had a little glitch in the system there. It shut off. I don't know if it got you or not, but hopefully it did. I just wanted to add that take the Bible. That might have got cut off. I'm going to have to look at this now. But anyway, the Bible, look in the Scriptures, ask the Lord to show you, ask the Lord to help you understand. We recommend the Gospel of John, and the reason for that is it says in there, these things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing have life in His name. But you could look up any other part of the New Testament. I would recommend the Gospels. But you could read about the crucifixions told in each Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read that. Ask the Lord to show you. Meditate on it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, or in this case, reading it. It's the Scriptures or the Holy Word, and that's how God saves people. So hopefully you got all that. We're going to sign off, and this will be broadcasted on the YouTubes and stuff, but also on the show audibly here within a few days. I'll post it up on the radio program. Anyway, my friends, and by the way, one more thing. On First Love Radio, as of next week, I'll be going to just the first hour. I have two slots in a day, and I had that for a long time because there was no other programs, but we're getting a full schedule now, so they moved me down to 1 hour show at 7 o'clock in the morning on Pacific time in the United States. You can look at the program schedule or go to my own website and listen anytime, day or night, to the program, sharingyourfaithradio.com. Anyway, God bless, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Hi, this is Larry DuBois here. I wanted to bring up something because of the recent riots, protests, the looting, all the stuff going on in cities across America is running rampant. One of the things I wanted to bring up is someone who might decide to go down there and try to street preach while this is going on. Well, I advise against that. You know, normally I'm the kind of guy that thinks, oh, come on, you babies. Come on, you cowards. Let's go out and do this. Let's get bold. Let's, you know. But I think wisdom speaks volumes here. For a couple of reasons, that I would not advise you to go down in the midst of that heated turmoil and trying to preach to those crowds. One obvious one right away is, are you even going to be heard? Especially you guys that don't use amplifiers. But even if you had an amplifier, are you going to be heard above all the other noise and everything else going on? But the main reason I say is there was a man, I got it here on the screen behind me. There was a man during the 1992 LA riots that decided he was going to go down and do something about the rioting and the looting. And he went down, and he says he was a street preacher. He went down there and tried preaching, and he got beat up. In fact, he was basically in a coma type thing. He died 6 months after it happened. So he was actually murdered. One of his friends had said, you know, his message, of course, is like our message, repent and believe. Repent, you're going to go to hell. Well, was he sounding harsh to them? Is that what got him in trouble or what? I don't know. I'm not here to judge that. All I know is he had a passion to go preach for righteousness for the Lord, and it cost him his life, maybe unnecessarily. Now, what about Scripture? What does the Scripture say? Well, I found a passage, not that I was looking for it, but in my normal reading years ago, I came across this passage in the book of Acts, and it's in Acts chapter 19. I got that on this screen here, and basically, there was a riot going on in the city of Ephesus, and it was over this great goddess Diana, and Paul, they were mad because Paul was speaking against this, and this was costing them their trade, plus in their mind it was insulting this great idol that they had created. Well, there was a great commotion. There was a great riot. Well, Paul, he wanted to go down into the midst of this theater and try preaching to these people. Well, the disciples, you know, they counseled against it. Well, he was very determined to go, and they actually came up and stopped him from doing it. And, you know, that is where, you know, it helps to have other people have some input in your ministry. And they probably wisely kept Paul from a premature death. Or, you know, is it something, you know, where there's certain times, I think, that we're not really going to accomplish much of anything out there. And that would be one of them, in a riotous situation. And talking about putting your pearls before swine, I don't know. Now, God has the power to save at any given time or place. But because of mainly that biblical passage where, you know, even the Apostle Paul, although he wanted to, God's providence through the other believers prevented him from going down and getting in the midst of that. So I would advise you, my friends, if you want to preach in the midst of these riots, I would advise against it. But that's just my opinion on another view. So thanks for listening. God bless you.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.
Striving to declare God's Word all day and all night. This is the streaming ministry of FirstLoveRadio.org.